Folks, aren't you glad that the Lord Jesus loves you? Where would we be without His great love? I tell you where I'd be. I'd be lost and on my way to a devil's hell if I wasn't already there. It's good to see you in the Lord's house this morning. I did see a few visitors back through there. If you call yourself visitor, it's my prayer and hope that somebody's already made you feel welcome this morning, because truly you're welcome in the Lord's house. Ken, I wasn't looking for you this morning, brother. It's good to see you. If you don't know, Brother Ken Fortner spent 5 days at Baptist Hospital this week and then finds himself right back in the church on Sunday morning. What a blessing, Ken. My prayer is with you and Kathy that God will just help you through this. And hey, you're not alone, brother. God's with you all the way. We have a great physician. And, you know, you look around. There's Brother Tommy. Tommy, you break my heart because I know what you're going through. Having given a kidney himself to a brother who was in dire need of a kidney that he might live. Now Brother Tommy himself's needing a kidney. And I'm telling you what, God's not forgot what you're going through. And it's not just these. There's many folks that's needing a touch this morning. And I hope and pray that God will just give you what you need this morning and touch those that can't be here this morning. If you've got a copy of God's Word, you can turn anywhere. It's all good. But I'm going to take my text verse out of Galatians chapter number 2 this morning. And chapter number 2 and verse number 20. Because it simply said, in this verse of Scripture alone, it tells us that we are loved. And I want you to see that this morning. Jesus loves us. You know, we in ourselves, we everyone have something that we're wanting. And it seems like we're covetous at heart. And I mean, we want this and we want that. And bless God, we just need to want more Jesus. We need more and want more of Him rather than the things of the world. I heard a story about the Abraham Lincoln. If you know, he had two little sons, and having two sons, it was while he was on the White House the presidency, and his two sons were arguing. Brother Tam, one of the cabinet members, looked at him and said, "What are your sons fighting about?" He said, "It's the lifelong problem of all of us." And he said, "What's that?" He said, "I've got three walnuts, and both of them want two." That's about the way we are. We just want more of everything in the world. And as we get covetous of things, bless God, it takes us and distracts us from what we really need. Brother John, we need more of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need more of His presence. We need more of His purpose in our lives, that we would do what He's called us to do. And my friends, we can do exactly what God's told us to do, Brother Chris, because He loves us. He empowers us. He enables us to do that we're supposed to do only in Christ. And He's not going to leave us without the ability to do it. If He calls us to do it, brother, He's going to afford us the way and make the way, and He's going to give us the providential hope from on high that we'll do exactly what we're supposed to do. Even it was in our Sunday school lesson this morning, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming it, bringing it back in and acknowledging it fourfold, going forward what He would have for us to do. The days are evil, folks, but Jesus loves me, this I know. Let's stand and give reverence for reading of God's Word. There's many other places that I will go today as the Lord will allow me to go. But in your own life, look somewhere in Grant Souther's life and start getting you a tally pad. You get you an ink pen out and a hash mark, start going and say, "Wherein does He love me?" And start doing that. Bless God, you'll soon run out of ink or paper and you start adding up what God's done for you. Brother, what if He'd done nothing else for us? Bless God, saving our unworthy soul from hell was enough. But that, bless God, He gives us all these other things. And Brother Chris, you might not see the blessings right now. Sometimes the world gets a little bit dark, and maybe we see through a glass darkly now. But Keila, I promise you, He still loves you, and He still got you in His good keep. Get you a hashtag and start thanking the Lord for the blessings. You'll get salvation. That ought to be full and free. The next thing you know, you're going to be thanking Him for your wife, your children, your mama, your daddy, your church. You might even thank Him for your pastor, your deacons, the ones that you serve with. Bless God, it won't be long, Brother Tim. You're going to find out that you cannot touch His matchless. You can't even come and fathom how good He is. Brother Scott, you could have sung that song this morning, "The Love of God," because that's how big God is. I want to read this one verse of Scripture this morning, and it's simply, it's the text verse or the life verse for my wife and myself, and it simply says these words: "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who did what? Who loved me." And what did He do? Gave Himself for me. Brother Tam, it's so good to see you and Miss Jan back. I know y'all are world travelers and everything, but it's so good to have y'all back in here. How about asking God to bless our Scripture reading this morning? And as you're being seated even now, if you take Maslow's hierarchy of needs, you'll find real close to the top of your pyramid, we need love. And bless God, there's nothing like it. Yeah, we've got to have food and sustenance. We've got to have raiment. We've got to have clothing. We've got to have the things that we've got to have. But bless God, we've got to have love. If we don't have that, what have we really got? But I'm telling you what, my friends, we've got a Savior that loves us. We got a God that loves us, and He thought we were to die for, and He gave us what we needed. If you'll go to keep that verse of Scripture, because it's all intertwined through the book of John this morning. We're going to start out in John chapter number 3, because I want to show you a few places today how good my God is. And I want to show you how good that not God. I said my God, how good my God is. Tammy's not just my God. He's your God. If you're saved by God's grace, He's your God. And whenever I say God, I'm talking about the Godhead, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. I'm not trying to diminish one from the Holy Spirit, from the personage of the Holy Spirit, or from the Son of God being Jesus Christ, or from God Himself. When I say God loves us, or Jesus loves me, this I know. Brother Woody, I'm talking about the Godhead. I'm talking about God Almighty that loves us so much, Brother Grant, that He would send His Son down here, and that that same Son would love us so much that He would go to a cross, and that He would be stripped of His raiment, and He would hang there between heaven and earth, crucified, the innocent dying for us, the guilty, and that He would give His life, and then bless God on the day of Pentecost, He would go right back to God the Father in heaven. And Brother Woody, He'd take the mercy seat, the blood to the mercy seat, and atone for our sin. But bless God, He didn't leave us comfortless. Bless God, that person of the Holy Spirit, He came back, and that's the Holy Spirit that come by me and you, and you and those of us which are saved. And bless God, that's where we can see that Jesus loves me. This I know, because Brother Graham, He drew me into Himself. He wooed me. He beckoned me. He beseeched me. He draw me to an altar somewhere, and then I fell on my face before Him. And brother, don't start thinking it was anything I did. The only thing I did to get to that place of atonement was commit the sin that made it necessary for Him to even die on the cross. But bless God, when He drew me, I did surrender, and I come unto Him. In this chapter 3 of the book of John, we see that conversation going between a man by the name of Nicodemus and by the Lord Savior Himself, Jesus Christ. And there it goes. He said, how can a man be born when he is old? Brother Chris, you got to be born again by the Spirit of God. Oh, He's a God. He's a Spirit. He must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. And then Nicodemus, being a lot like us, he said, how can a man be born again when he is old? Can he re-enter his mother's womb yet again? Bless God, He's not talking about that, Brother Chris. We got to be born of the Spirit of God. And when that Spirit comes by and it pricks your heart, bless God, that's the time. It's right then and there that you must move on it. And if you move on it, it won't take you long, Brother Justin. You'll clearly know that Jesus loves me. This I know, because it's written on the pages of His blessed word. There's nothing like being saved. I've had highs and lows in my life. When you're young, you want to get old. When you're old, you want to get young. You're about 14, you can't wait to get your license. That's the way it is. And when you get your license, you want to be 18. Then when you get 18, you want to be 21. And then when you get 21, you kind of start thinking, well, maybe this ain't all it's cracked up to be. Daddy ain't paying the bills anymore. Mom ain't paying the bills anymore. I'm having to buy my own food when I go out. And I've got all this stuff going on. I might just go back to being young again. Brother, if I ain't since, I'd never left home. I'd still be there. Somebody else footing all the bill and paying the way. But brother, it's the same way on our spiritual walk. We start getting older. We find out we can't do this. I can't do this on my own. Bless God, I've got to have a Heavenly Father. I've got to have somebody to guide me, to lead me, to order my steps, and to help me in this walk of life. And that's none other than Jesus Christ. I look at my own life with these pitfalls and happies and highs and lows and all the things. Mary and Miss Cindy, what a blessing that was in my life. And it still is. I've never got over that. 31 years, be 31 in a couple months. Still love her. She's still beautiful. She's still precious to me. And Marty, that's got to be one of the highs in my life. It really does. It's right up there with everything else. And I saw when Mara was born. I'm telling you what, that our first child. Brother, ain't nothing made move my heart like that. I mean, how could something this long, with head this big around? I'm serious. Hey, brother, damn, that baby's huge. And I saw my little petite wife laying over there having a baby. It looked like she had swallowed a watermelon sideways, and that thing's all bulged out there. And next thing I know, that Dr. T.R. Bryan, he's delivered that baby. And next thing I know, he laid her up there. Brother Grant, I ain't kidding you. That baby looked that long, and her head looked about that long and about that big around. And I'm thinking, my goodness, what in the world? You can't tell me there's not a God. But when I saw that, brother, it had to be one of the most special times. She cried, I cried, we both cried. And then Macy was born. We've been crying ever since. Oh, no. Really. Whoop, whoop. Those are highs. They ain't nothing going to take away from the birth of my children. Ain't nothing takes away from that day when I saw my bride open up them double doors and she started coming down the aisle. And bless God, there ain't nothing like that, Brother Jody. I got to see my bride for the first time on that day, adorned in white, coming down to meet her husband. Husband-to-be. Brother Tim, that was special. You said, what are you talking about? I'm talking about those were days that I'll never forget. They were special moments in my life. Brother Tim, ain't nothing like something else that happened in my life. I was a 13-year-old boy, died and going to a devil's hell. And there's some old leather lung, hard-faced preacher got up there. And bless God, he took that old King James Bible. And Brother Hal, he started laying it out there. He had a finger about that long, and he kept hitting me with that thing. Everything he preached, Brother Woody, come my way. And it pricked my little heart. And the next thing I know, Brother Tim, I fell on the left side of the altar on the third Thursday in April of 1981. And bless God, the Lord saved my soul from a devil's hell. And that, my friends, changed it. Eternity for me. And Brother Danny, you talk about highs. Yes, seeing your baby's born, that's a high. Seeing your bride, that's a high. But there's something that happened to me on that day, Brother Tam. I realized that Jesus loves me. This I know, and there's nothing ever can change that, Brother John. Nothing can ever change that. You could never get away from it. Go with me. I'm going to be all through the scriptures as I try to preach this message. Go with me to the book of Romans chapter number 8. We all love Romans chapter number 8. But there's a little part in here that I want to tell you, Brother Tam. I never got over it. I'll never get over it. If I live to be 90 or I live to be 100, Brother Woody, guess what? I'm saved. And what could I realize on that day? Jesus loves me. Brother Greg, Jesus loves me. You don't soon get past that. Was Brian and Kayla's birth not something miraculous? Was that just not something beyond? You can't really explain that. Could the blind man explain, Brother Woody, when everybody kept asking, who sinned? Did you sin? Did your parents sin? Over and over, there's a whole chapter. You take three chapters. Take the early books of Genesis. The creation's only recorded in a few verses. And here's a man trying to tell what happened to him. Through a whole chapter of the Bible. I don't know. All I know was I was blind and now I see. What happened to him? He met Jesus. He said, Jesus loves me. This I know. In the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Listen, Miss Ann, I saw you come to the altar, honey. God's got this. I'm speaking expressly to you because I know your heart this morning. I know your prayer request. They don't know your prayer request. I do. I'm your pastor. But God's got this. I promise you that. God's got this. Tommy, God's got this. And I could go to each and every one of you because I know your situation. I know your prayer request. And I don't know everything you deal with, but I know a lot of your prayer request. God's got this. And there's absolutely nothing. I don't care through sickness, Brother Tommy, through separation, hurt, heartache. There's nothing going to separate you from that love. Jesus loves you. Here's what it says in the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Are y'all all right this morning? Y'all going to be okay? Romans chapter number 8 says, verse number 35, who shall separate us from the love of God? Who is the who? I'm telling you what, I can't do it. Your wife can't do it. Your husband can't do it. Satan can't do it. Nobody can separate you from the love of God. And here's what it says. If you go down beyond 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Anybody going under any kind of tribulation, you better believe we all are. Any kind of distress or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as a sheep for the slaughter. Listen at this, my friends. This is the answer to who can separate you from the love of Christ. It says, nay, none of those things. It says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Not just conquerors, but more than conquerors. And then he goes right into this great diatribe, this great discourse of scripture here where it says, I am persuaded that neither death, Miss Cletha, Miss Martha, if she were here, neither death. You said, but I just lost my mama. Brother Allen, not death. I just lost Miss Wanda. Neither death, Listen, there's nothing. If Clayton were here, I would tell him. If Miss Mary were here, I would tell her. If you were thinking about your dear mother, Miss Betty, neither death. Brother, there's nothing that can separate you from that little statement that I made open up. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves you. It says neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. Brother Tam, it said the things that had been, such as death and all those things, everything that's behind us, that can't separate us from the love of God. Neither the things present, the situation, that storm you're in right now, nothing even back then, nothing right now, and it didn't leave us there, Brother Tam, it said, or the things to come. It sets it up, Brother John, that there's nothing, nothing that ever has been, is now, or ever will separate you from the love of God. Hallelujah. Is that not kind of special? Maybe I'm the only one getting this today, but I'm telling you what, Jesus loves me. Neither the things to come, no height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Keep your finger there in that book of Romans, because we're going to be back there in just a minute. I didn't say that you wouldn't lose a part of yourself. Last time I figured, we've all got one mom and one daddy. And when you lose that, there's a huge gaping hole. If you've got a spouse and that spouse has gone on, that was not just your spouse, that was a part of you, because twain, the two become one flesh. And as that twain become one flesh, I could no sooner lose an arm or lose another part of my faculty, my body, and me not miss that. Why? Because it's part of me. Amen. And the Bible said, twain, the two become one flesh. You're going to miss that. And that great love is always going to be there. That love is always going to be there. Tommy, that love will always be there. Yeah, you will miss them. And yeah, there's a time of separation. But even that in itself, death is swallowed up in victory. Why? Because Jesus loves me. This I know, because the Bible tells me so. We get to see him again. There's a grand reunion day one time. That's just down the line, Brother Woody. He's got a banqueting table. And that banqueting table, that as it is set, Brother John, he's put a banner over it. And his banner is love. He brought me to his banqueting table. And his banner over me is love. He loves us. What can separate you from that? Nothing. You want to rejoice in that, preacher, that Jesus loves me. There's nothing like it. Nothing will ever separate me from that. I could go into a position of dementia or Alzheimer's myself. I've watched that disease countless and numerous times through my ministry. And I think to myself, how sad that is. When I stop and see Cliff and Ray, and Cliff, he doesn't know me. Sometimes he might get a glimpse of who he thinks I am and call me Feldman. Or he might say something to that effect. But his body is strong. That little fellow's strong in the body, but his mind is gone. And I've watched that. But you know what, Brother Woody? If Cliff's saved by God's grace, and I believe that he was, guess what? He'll be whole again one day. Why? Amen. Because Jesus loves him. Amen. I could lose my mind, but you know what, Brother Grant? Jesus loves me. Isn't that special? I'm telling you, some kind of special. You say, well, how much does he love us? I want you to see that. Go back to Romans chapter number 5. How many of you are parents in here? Now, how many of you are children in here? That ought to be every hand in the building. Because if you ain't a parent at one time, you was a child. Did you get whippings? You didn't get any whippings? You need a whipping now. John, did you ever get any whippings? Seth, you never got whippings, did you? Adam, did you ever get any whippings? Did you get whippings or whoopings? Got whoopings. All the above. You still love your daddy? I believe you do. I'm telling you, there ain't nobody take a corrective action like Wayne Hall. I'm telling you. You said, who's Wayne Hall? That's my daddy. Stand you upright. And I'm not going to ask you if you ever got a whooping. Brother Woody, did any of the Dow children ever get spanked?
Yeah, I got one. I need it.
You got Laura's too. Where's Laura? Did you get him in trouble, Laura? Shame on you. He got whoopings for you. You did it, and it went on his account. Woody has a spank account built on the rest of you. When you got those spankings, when you got the whooping, did that make you love Elma Cheek any less? It didn't. Isn't that funny how that happens? Isn't that funny how that you can take correction and you can undergo disciplinary measures, be it your time out, stripping you of your gidgets and gadgets, putting you in your place of punishment? Isn't that amazing that they still sit beside you when you come to church? Isn't that amazing that you still have a great devout sense of loyalty and honor and love for that one which is correcting you? And even these many years later, I love my dad. They ain't nobody like him. I love him. And you know, that's the same way our Heavenly Father is. Bless God, there's nothing, even through corrective measures and means, whenever He stripes our little legs, and He does that time and again, He corrects us. Brother Woody, He still loves us, or He wouldn't correct us. He loves us because He does. And it doesn't change my love for Him or His love for me. The Bible said He corrects that for to them that He loveth. What's that word? To them that He loveth, He does what to them? He chastises them. He chasteneth them. He gives them correction. And if He doesn't love you, then He wouldn't correct you. But He does correct you because you are His. And you say, well, I've never been corrected by Him. You better check up, because you know what the Bible just declared you to be. None of His. The Bible said that you would be a bastard and not a son. What does bastard mean? Is that a bad word? No. It just means not having a father. And that's what you would be. But to Him that He loveth. Brother Tim, you ever had any correction from above? Whoo, haven't we all? The Bible says it doesn't seem very pleasant at the moment, but boy, it brings forth fruit later on. It helped you, Brother Bruin. You might not like it right now. Y'all didn't get them when you grew up, did you? Romans chapter number 5. I want you to hear this, because this is... I don't know how to put it, except that we were so wicked and so vile. But Brother Woody, that did not deter him from doing what he was going to do. It didn't change the fact, the outcome. It did not discourage him from going on through that garden and praying until his blood became as great sweat drops of blood. His sweat just protruded from him, even as great drops of blood. It didn't stop him from challenging Satan head on. It didn't stop him from going to Gethsemane's garden or to Gabbatha or to Golgotha, even to the brow whenever he would be crucified. It didn't stop him. The Bible says in Romans chapter number 5 and verse number 8. 5 and verse number 8. Look at this. It says that, well, let me just go back and read 3 through 8, because if you don't get it all, I don't want to take it out of context. It said, not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God, listen to this, Brother Chris, say amen, Chris. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Brother Tammy didn't say why we were righteous, or why we were upright of heart, or why we were trying to walk worthy, or why we were trying to live right, do right, sing right, talk right, be right. No, while we were yet sinners, Christ loved us. That's something there. Now that's something there. You might take a biscuit to somebody that's cleaned up and looking like somebody. You might hand them a token of money or whatever. But whenever you got to go down to the one that would kill you for it and give it to him and give him not only that, but your cloak also. Brother John, that's different. And that's what my Savior did.
Yes.
In that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. I'm telling you, my friends, I'm going right back over just a couple pages. I'm going over to the book of Ephesians just a minute. We're studying that in our Sunday school lesson. Ephesians chapter number 2. Just for a minute. Ephesians chapter number 2. Bible says, verses number 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Isn't that amazing? Are y'all all right? We're quiet in here. Even when we were dead in sins, he hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. For in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. John chapter number 15 and verse number 13. I'm just going to throw these out. We're going to be done here in just a second. John chapter number 15 and verse number 13. Listen at this. The Bible said, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Verse number 13 says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. My friends, you're not going to get greater than that. John chapter number 16. If you were to go to 16, turn it over one page. I want you to see a verse of scripture in verse number 20. I start in verse number 23. It said, and in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall speak no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father, listen to this verse, for the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me, and hath believed that I came out of God. My friends, love Jesus Christ. The Father will then give you the blessing from above. Brother Scott, come up here and get us that song again. The second of the same 87, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know. Folks, if I through this little bitty 20-minute message, 25, 30-minute message, have not convinced you that Jesus loves you, I'm not going to be able to convince you. I'm not. I could stand up here the rest of the day and beg you to come. But if the Holy Spirit doesn't woo you and draw you, I'm vain. I'm vanity. I'm nothing. So you then have to ask yourself, well, how can I be proven? How can I testify to this fact? I can't testify to the fact how good God loves you. You need to testify to the fact how good God loves you. I tell you how good he's been to me. Right. He loves me. He's been good to me. You see me, you see a blessing. I'm not a blessing in disguise. I'm a pure fold, bona fide blessing from God. Brother John, he has blessed me. Amen. I mean, I'm blessed beyond even my wildest imagination. Everything that I've got, it's just because of God. Amen. I can't tell you. You got to experience that for yourself. You're getting ready to go. I talked about a wife. Guess what? You got one. I talked about the birth of a child. You're going to get one. I talked about these things, but it's that day that you accepted Christ. That's your day. That's when you know that Jesus loves me. All the other days are special, but that one should stand above everything else. Paul, Jesus loves you because the Bible tells us so. As we stand to our feet all over the house, I had probably three or four more places, but we're done.